Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President, Business Development at the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest series comes to you from the 2024 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando, Florida, where we ingested 4 full days of content from marketing and brand stewards from leading brands. The conference theme was setting the agenda for growth, and we heard a lot about creating unparalleled consumer engagement with the help from advanced technology like AI. We heard about creativity, a laser focus on what matters most to consumers, and never ever losing sight of humanity as tech continues to expand. REB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees and speakers about their business, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. Shelley Palmer, who you may recognize from RAB's coverage of the annual Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, is CEO of the Palmer Group, a consulting practice that helps Fortune 500 companies with technology, media, and marketing, and the creator of the popular free online course Generative AI for Execs. He was named LinkedIn's top voice in technology. He covers tech and business for Fox 5's Good Day New York, and he is a regular commentator on CNN and CNBC. REB's president and CEO, Mike Hulvey, kicks off our ANA Masters of Marketing series with an interview that is insightful, exciting, and maybe even a little bit scary about how AI is transforming marketing.
Radio on Main Street at the ANA in Orlando, and an old friend to Erica Farber, and an old friend to radio. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell us what some of your early indications are from the 2024 version. This is certainly not your first ANA.
No, it's definitely not my first ANA. It's an exciting time, right? The media business is a little bit upside down. It's experiencing headwinds, to be as polite as I can, that it hasn't experienced in a long time. They've been foretold for decades, but they're here now, actually. And that's also in the context of a lot of really interesting new technology. A couple of letters. I keep forgetting what they are. Something with an A. At the end of the day, all
can
kidding
aside.
Can
I give you
aside, an eye? Yes, seriously. I can buy one. At the end of the day, we're in a place where we are sharing our business with intelligence decoupled from consciousness, and I don't think everybody is fully prepared for that right now. So it's a really interesting time. The other thing is the filter you need to be walking around the ANA, and truthfully anywhere in the business right now, is a more technologically sophisticated filter than you've ever needed, because the amount of snake oil being pushed with the letters AI surrounding, you can literally smell the paint drying on the signs that say AI on literally everything, and it's getting annoying.
There was a comment made in one of the earlier sessions today that only 36% of the ad investment actually reaches the consumer.
Yeah.
What was the takeaway for you from that comment? And do you agree with that?
I think it's less. I actually think it's a lot less. If you truly segment the audience, there are people generationally, they are probably 55 to dead, who have media behaviors that are only slightly changed in the last 20 years or 10 years. But if you watch Gen Alpha, Gen Z, trailing edge millennials, even that old, the entirety of the way that they interact with the world is different. And to carve out advertising misses the point. If you want to get a message to somebody under the age of 30, you can't use any of the tools that anybody over the age of 30 grew up with. So whatever your own point of view is, whatever your own lens is, unless you are rigorously willing to understand the data and believe it, and actually, you know, follow the data, you are going to be in a place you shouldn't be. And go watch a millennial, no, not even millennial, younger, go watch somebody under the age of 25 make a decision they're not looking for leadership. They're going to self-serve, and they self-serve through a very specific routine. And while they slightly vary, there'll be some social proof involved. There will be some of their own, quote, research, which is a different, that word doesn't have the same meaning that it does to others. And it's certainly not rigorous academic research. It's research that gives them a comfort level for the confirmation bias they seek. And so, unless you understand the tool set that needs to be deployed to get to this person, whatever your message is, isn't getting there, no matter what the message is, advertising or not. So I think that that number is probably generous to the advertisers compared to the amount of bot traffic that we live with right now, compared to the amount of social behavior that has changed. And by the way, anecdotally, no data to support this whatsoever, I can tell you that if you talk to people our age, and I'm making a bold assumption, so forgive me.
Don't be distracted by the hair.
Our generation, and we grew up with a very specific set of technologies.
Right.
These behaviors are changed. I have friends who will tell me they get into bed instead of turning on the television, which is a behavior that they literally learned in childhood. So this goes 30, 40, 50 years of behavior. And now they are opening their handhelds or opening their phones, and they are doom scrolling for the dopamine hit, for the same dopamine hit that the kids are seeking. And you would not expect a TV baby writ large to change behaviors 50 years, 60 years into the behavior set. You wouldn't expect it. But, and I don't have any hard data to support that, but everybody I talk to, the first thing you talk about is, should the grandchildren or the children have a cell phone, and at what age? Should they be restricted in something? Then you get into the, what should they study, because AI is going to change the world. Then you get into the, well, their behaviors are different. And then as soon as you get into that, and then that conversation leads to, well, I like TikTok too. It's like, wait, what? You're a grandparent. What do you mean you like TikTok? Oh, no, every day I'm just like. So I have no hard data, but I have a ton of anecdotal armchair research in that even old people who are set in their ways have changed their behaviors over the last 5 years. And if you're an advertiser, that's going to send shivers up your spine.
I'm going to give you this is not related to marketing, but it is related to technology and this, multiple generations behind us. I have a 10-year-old granddaughter. She's brilliant, beautiful, all the things that we would brag.
All the grandparent bragging.
All the grandparent bragging.
Proud grandparent
so
moments.
So I'm going to take you back to where she was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She is in our living room. She walks up to our television. She puts her finger on the television. And she swipes. It is not a smart TV. In most TV, back then they didn't do that anyway. But she stopped. She turned around and she looked at my wife, her grandmother, and she said, "Grandma, it's broken." Like, at 2 years old. So this goes back to the comment that you made earlier about how quickly these things are changing. And as marketers trying to catch up to that?
I think marketers have a harder job now than they've ever had. Fragmentation has been a story for 25 years. And each year we've had new technologies to deal with it. Then there's attribution, because people want to invest their dollars properly or what they believe is properly. And there are very smart people who will be seduced by pure numbers. The thing is, all these numbers are a proxy for only one thing, driving velocity at retail or growth. So what you're trying to do is figure out some probabilistic math that informs an investment decision to get you the highest possible return on your advertising dollar. So, okay, if my return on advertising spend is calculable, then I'm going to try and find the reductionist mathematics to allow it. We live in that world. Like, that's the probabilistic math of media planning and buying. And then procurement gets in the way, and they buy the cheapest CPM, completely throwing out the idea that creative is associated with it. And like, all the things that are wrong with the business have been wrong with the business for a quarter century or more. We're in a new place. And I would say within very short order, because it's already starting to be deployed, we're going to go from curation to generation. And what I mean by that is we have been curating content for 3,500 years. Right person, right time, right place, right message. And that has been true, and it's what you do. And the way that you annotate and classify a piece of creative informs how it will be surfaced when you have the other data available to surface it. And there's a lot of cost in creating the original content, and there always has been, and there always will be with original content. But versioning and variations on a theme have usually been restricted to just the biggest buckets, because nobody could slice and dice their non-working media budget past a point. It's like, okay, I've got $5 million here. That's buying me a spot. Maybe I'll get two. Maybe I'll get three out of it if I'm really clever about it. I got $10 million. But at a certain point, you just run out of money to do variations. That's going to cease to be a thing. So what will the media business look like writ large if everybody, not hyper-personalization, because that's too tight, what if I literally just made every spot work perfectly for the distribution channel that it was to be found on? Perfectly. And we're able to tune it, subtly turn the dial left and right, just to get it right with feedback against my annotation and my classification. That's almost all the way here. We have this conversation next year. We'll be closer the year after. We might be there. But in more than a year and less than five, everything you know about doing that's going to change. And so non-working media money and working media money are going to kind of metamorphose into one another. Don't confuse this with creativity and the ability to think up like a human thinks up and create like a human creates. That's the magic of being human. These tools are skills amplifiers and executional amplifiers. Once it is thought up and created, no matter what tools you use to do that, whether you use enhancements or help from your AI partner or not, once created, to get it executed and distributed, this is now plumbing. This is just tech. And it's never just been tech. It's always been bring a lot of people together and spend a lot of money. And so the entirety of the way that creativity, production, and distribution are financially linked is about to change, and it's going to allow for a level of efficacy we haven't seen before. Here's my question. Are we going to really understand the sociological behavioral changes and have access to the distribution channels that each of these specific groups or cohorts needs to be reached through? That's going to be the harder part. Figuring out what they need, not so tough. Figuring out where they are and what it is that's working, that's going to get harder and harder and harder as these individuals become little atomized bits. And I don't know. This is going to get harder. We've been on this path literally for more than a quarter century, more. And we're now it's sort of coming to the crazy part. And thank goodness we have some AI to help, because without machine learning, there's no way you're going to be able to do what needs to be done in the coming couple
years. I want
to talk
audio and radio here in a minute, but I want to go back to a comment that Mark Pritchard made from the stage in the opening session, and he mentioned AI. And he said AI doesn't create the tingle, like the goosebumps. The human does. And then the technology takes over, which is similar to what you just said. But
same thing, exactly.
A reaction to that.
No, he's 100% right. Well, I just say human beings are magic. Yeah, I've been writing music since I was a kid. I have, I don't know, something like 5,000 pieces of music in my ASCAP catalog. I don't know how many radio ID campaigns. I mean, I go back past TalkNet. Like, I mean, you know, we're going all the way back to when,
Sally,
you know,
Jesse Raphael and
Bruce
Williams.
Yeah, and those guys. Tom Snyder, may rest in peace. I mean, yeah, you know, I've been writing for radio for a long time, writing for television for a long time. Creativity has nothing to do with what we're talking about. This, human beings are magic, and being able to create something is what people do. But when you finish the Tom Snyder theme, or the Sally Jesse Raphael theme, or the TalkNet theme, or the AP Radio theme, or the WR Radio theme, I go on and on and on. When you finish that, there are 800 cuts that have to be orchestrated, arranged, and produced at every length. You have the 23+7, you have the 15+5, you have you have all of them, right? And then you also have all the variations. Well, I need the Killer Chickens one for the news thing, and I need the, you know, Bear is going to scare the Boy Scouts the theme, like for that promo. So you got like 75 different promo beds you have to write. all of that work is algorithmic, even for a musician who's trained. There are rules you follow. Well, you know another device that can follow rules real well? Computers.
Right.
So the executional part will be done mechanically. And let's face it, when you put dialogue and sound effects over a promo bed, you feel the promo bed. You're not listening to it. It's just and the tag is important. Well, the tag a person wrote. Right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. A human being wrote that. I happen to know who it was. But everything that happens up to that point, the drone that's to scare you, the two little hits that tell you that the ambulance should be coming around the bend right now, all of that in the promo, it's plumbing. And can I say that I would do a better job than AI? Yeah, I'd do a better job than AI if I go to do that right now. I wouldn't, I do. Would a client know that? It's the same client who would go to a stock music library and grab a piece of stock music instead of having an original track, and that client is just as happy to have something created by a machine that will give the feeling they need. So in a production environment, we're not talking about creativity. We're in the production business. We run music factories. We run voiceover factories. We run commercial factories and promotion factories. We run tune-in promo factories. And we're under immense pressure to do it at the lowest possible price and get it out the door. How topical can you make your topical promo? Well, I can make my topical promo 10 seconds old if I want to now, and that wasn't possible 5 years ago. So if you look at it from a radio owner's perspective, if you look at it from a station owner's perspective, creative services director's perspective, show producer's perspective, talent perspective, I can up my game in a way, again, skills amplification. I can up my game in a way I could never up it without these tools. And yeah, some people are not going to be working, but those people aren't, they're not able to do this work at this speed. People, but one promo producer, super skilled in the art of partnering with AI, will be able to do the work of several promo producers or elevate the game and pull in the ratings that one would desire and then the extra money to justify the time and energy and maybe fight above their weight.
Tool is the word. And our time's getting shorter. I want to talk about audio.
Yeah,
you've hit on some very important points about the strength of audio in the ecosystem and radio in particular. How do you see the future?
I think you're going to see AI music generation take a giant portion of the production music business. I think we're going to see it take a giant portion of the promo business, B-roll, interstitials, background actors and extras, voiceover. I think you're going to see that everywhere. Dubbing into every language, both just audio and audio video. You can see this happen faster than most people believe it will happen and slower than it probably, could. So there'll be some pushback. A lot of licensing and business rules have to happen, and so there's going to be immense negotiation going on as people try to fight for the things that they believe they belong to them. This is going to be a pretty vicious fight, but big tech is going to win, as it always does. Big business will allow big tech to win because it's financially correct for them to do that. It will enhance shareholder value, and shareholders are why all the business owners are in business. So that's the future that we see. It will be a negotiated future that comes, like I said, in little bits where it's very obvious. Are we ever going to get to a point where you have a complete radio show that somebody would be willing to listen to and feel was good programming, done from a prompt? Why would you even think that was important? Like, that's just, that's asking the wrong thing from the tech. We know all the components that make a great show. We know that there are very few people at the top of the triangle, top of the pyramid, who are capable of storytelling at the level we want to tell. We're capable of holding an audience. We're capable of creating a soundscape that we want to put ourselves into. You're telling me that I can't have AI sweeten my final mix or can't master my mix? You're crazy. Of course it can. That's not the creative part of the show.
Right.
That's somebody who's uniquely talented that we're going to understand what they do. Well, why are we having to re-equalize this show? Why are we having to compress this? Why are we having to do all the signal processing? And the answer is because when we were originally producing it, we weren't concerned with that. past the point. Yes, we needed to understand what we were doing, but we were busy telling our story. And now someone's going to post-produce this. Well, if that process gets automated, yeah, a whole bunch of people are going to be really sad. But a whole other bunch of people are going to be, oh, great, press a button. Now it's done. I can ship right now. So instead of 4 more days of waiting to mix and sweeten, I finish my production. I press a button, one listen through, notes from the senior producer, and it's out the door. That's more likely the workflow and process than type something and the show goes out the door, which is not to say, sadly, that people aren't going to type a thing and have a show go out the door. If people, and this is the part I don't know, and nobody knows, anyone who says they know this is lying. If people don't hear a difference, there's no difference. But I believe people will hear a difference. And where they do, where you get Joe Rogan as opposed to, you know, Joe Schmo,
right,
you're still going to have a business. And it's going to be a great one.
All right, two questions. Radio matters because?
That's still the way most people listen to audio. And as long as there are cars and cars have radio, there's a really good chance that that's what's going to happen. Radio matters because that's where, you know, it's got an audience. And you know, when it ceases to have an audience, it will cease to matter. Right now it has an audience. So I think if you want the audience that's listening to radio, that's where to find them.
Right, last question. Radio works because?
Because there is a giant number of human beings who exactly know how to use it, and they're not scared of it, and they grew up with it. And while that audience might not be the very youngest of the young or the most youth-seeking or youthful aspiring, what they are is a very powerful demographic with a very big pocketbook and a lot of discretionary income. And as a advertiser, you'd be silly not to pay serious close attention to it. And I think the RAB, not asking for advice, but I'll tell you, I think you should take every media buyer and planner under the age of 30 out for a drive and let them understand what radio is, because a lot of these young people come to work in subways and walk in major metropolitan cities and literally have not grown up with radio. Those who have gone to higher stations in the business besides planning and buying. So as long as there are only young, energetic MBA types planning and buying, we have to introduce them to the world of radio, because I'm not sure that if you didn't grow up with it, you understand quite the emotional impact that just having the DJ talk to you in the morning actually has.
Shelly shares a very important reminder that was also a theme throughout the conference. Human beings are truly magic. Being able to create something is what people do. The execution of it can be done mechanically, it's plumbing. And AI makes it easier, more efficient, and at the speed of time.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com. Or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.